Hey there, my friends. Excuse the wires here and the setup on the desk this morning, but today I want to talk to you about chapter 6 and 7 of the Quantum Leap.
Welcome to the HPLS podcast. Live, relevant, and high performance information, conversations, and education weekly.
So as we dive deeper into this book review of The Quantum Leap, I mean, this book is truly one of those books that I do suggest with everything in my body that you get it and digest it and really live it. Today we're going to talk about Don't Fall for the Quantum Leap. And this chapter to me is crazy insane because since I've been 16 years old, I've been into the personal development world, and some of you have. And after reading this chapter, I mean, we're talking 15, it's 20 something, 21 years later since I got into personal development, breaking some serious paradigms that I had. And one of them is, it is so true that in personal development, most of the conversation is about these quantum leaps, right? And I can tell you just from personal experience, you know, a quantum leap is sexy, right? It's cool. It's like, wow, I've got this amazing thing, and like overnight it's happened, and it's a great story. But I tell you, I've been devastated more than I've been fulfilled by this idea of quantum leaps. And I only realized it when I went through this chapter, because when I first got into personal development, and I've taken it seriously to the point where I've had my wife, friends, almost not want to hang out with me because I was like, well, no, I mean, there's no bad things that happen. You always got to find the good in everything. And I do believe that, don't get me wrong, but there's a level to it where we understand life has ebbs and flows. We're in an ebb and flow in our business right now where it's a real big downer. We're coming out of it. And, you know, personal development in itself, I think it's missing something after reading this book. And it's missing the fact that every breakthrough is a result of like giving massive effort on little things that compound into the big break. So when we talk about quantum leaps, I mean, that's why I think why this chapter is called Don't Fall for the Quantum Leap, because I truly believe they do happen, but they happen with specific actions over a period of time that all of a sudden one morning you wake up and you're like, things have changed, but it's changed over a period of time. You know, Jeff goes in the book, he goes in and talks a lot about, and I'm kind of giving away future chapters, but he talks a lot about like exercise. And I think exercise or getting healthy for most of us, this will hit home more than anything else, right? So when you think about it, you go to a gym and you exercise one day, right? You might feel great when you leave the gym, but when you stand on a scale or when you look in the mirror, nothing's changed, right? And you do this consistently for say a month, and maybe you get a slight change, but in that month, that's the toughest period to go through, because it's easier just to kind of kick one leg out of bed and pull it back in and go, oh, I'm just going to snooze for another hour because I deserve it. I've been to the gym 3 times this week, right? It's in business. I think it's the same thing. It's easier for us to come into the office and even just all of a sudden go, well, you know what? I'm dealing with customer problems right now. Sales can wait. Prospecting can wait. And I say this with all due respect to all of you, because I've done it tens of thousands of times where I'll get on the phones and I'll double up my prospecting tomorrow, or I'll double up my prospecting this afternoon. You know, I just had like one of the craziest meetings with a customer, or the craziest conversations with a customer, that truly set me off, right? I'm on my way to work this morning and I got cut off and something happened, and I'm so frustrated. I'm not in the mindset to make prospecting calls. I'm sure you've all felt that. But here's something that he talks about in the book, and I've elaborated on here for a minute. And I really want you to think about this for a second. So Jeff says, You're doing the things that most people don't want to do. I think we know that. Like Stephen Covey talked about that in his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think that piece of the puzzle has been beaten for a long time. It's so true, and common sense isn't always common practice, but I don't want to talk about that. One thing that hit me with this book, and hopefully over the last couple of weeks since we've been going on it, he keeps reiterating, you know, it's the small things that are easy to do, but easier not to do, that really get us moving forward. And in this chapter, he talks about, think about baseball. You know, the difference between a Hall of Famer and a major paycheck is literally 1.2 hits per week. And those 1.2 hits are like 7 to 10 millimeters up or down the bat. That's how slight that edge is. Right, that's how fine it is on a razor's edge between success and failure. But I want to go a step further, right? I love golf. In golf, it is a game of millimeters, not inches. Some people say it's inches. I believe it's millimeters. Because if you are off by 10 millimeters, maybe 6 millimeters on your driver, it's a difference between going into the woods and having a serious long game down the fairway. If you're millimeters off on your putt, it's a difference between an extra stroke and taking your buddy's money, right? Call a spade a spade. Baseball, right? Just talked about that one. Basketball, it's, you know, difference between a basket and a rebound that might not be got, now might not be received by your team. That was really weird for, and in business, right? It's difference between a solid lead and another dud. It truly is. It's a game of millimeters, right? Did I really try to get better this week? Did I improve by 1% this week? Like, think about this for a second, right? If you improve by only 1% a week, you're 52% better at the end of the year. If you improve by 1% a day, you're almost 4 times better at the end of the year. And that's just a slight improvement per day. But, you know, I think that when it comes to the quantum leap is really the focal point is, you know, how do I get better every day? How do I move myself in a forward momentum to help me achieve the goals I want to achieve? Now, here's one thing that I find both in the book and in some of the notes that I take when I read the book is this, our society is all about instant gratification. It's all about instant wins. Like, you don't need to go anywhere. You can go on any social media platform. Everybody's advertising, you know, buy this, buy that. You know, in this amount of time, there's people advertising, you know, with a cell phone and a laptop, you can make millions of dollars. They don't talk about those small, seemingly insignificant things that are so mundane, but really drive the needle. So I know I've been beating this topic to death, but I think that y'all need to really listen to this, because this is the difference between the next level you and you in 12 months from now going, I've got nowhere. I haven't done anything. It's so small, insignificant moves. And then in chapter 7, you know, well, actually, before I go to chapter 7, I want to read 6 essential points from chapter 6. Okay. So his essential point number one is quantum leaps do happen, but only as a result of lengthy, gradual buildup of consistent and applied effort. So I think that's number one. Number two is no success is immediate. No collapse is sudden. They are both a result of the slight edge occurring momentum over time. So this can work both ways. And I'm sure you have seen it before, probably living it right now. If you did not prospect during COVID, if you did not prospect during the good times, if you did not build more relationships during the good times, if you only focused on what was coming to you, and whatever the excuses or the rationale you're giving to yourself, the fact is, if you didn't continue to do your job and do the pieces of your job that you knew would get you where you need to go, you're at fault. End of story. Okay. So just, you need to accept that first. And if you have not, then that's the demise that you're facing now. But the beautiful thing is, like Rico said, just 2 choices, my man, my friend. Number one, you're going to choose today to be the day where you start climbing. You're going to choose now to be the time where you're going to make the difference. Not Monday, today's Friday. Do it today. Don't wait till Monday, because when we wait, we can delay, we can delay, we can delay. There is no someday, there's only now, there's only today. Okay? Number three, hoping for the big break, the breakthrough, the magic bullet is not futile, it's dangerous, because it keeps you from taking the actions you need to create to the results you want, right? That's a great sum up of what we're talking about through this chapter. So as we get into chapter seven is all about the secret of happiness. And one thing that I could tell you is key and was key in my life, and this chapter started transitioning that for me, is it starts with a quote from Albert Schweitzer, where success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. And I've been thinking about that since I read this chapter yesterday, and really thinking about it. You know, who would you rather hang out with, right? So I look at this in my own personal life. I want to hang out with happy people. I've been through some serious things over the past couple of years where I wasn't happy. I'm still to this point, a lot of the times I get pissed off and frustrated at the smallest things because I'm still feeling that brr of going through what I went through and why and all this kind of stuff. But when you start reading this chapter and you really learn about, and Jeff goes into the science of happiness. This isn't just some hokey, you know, Pollyanna shit. This is the science of happiness, the science of positive psychology and all this. And there's real science that are backing this, right? So he says something in this chapter that I think is going to hit most of you right in the heart. So he says, you know, when you're looking at it, if I were to ask parents, you know, what would you prefer? Would you, if I could wave a magic wand, would you prefer your children to be rich or happy? And when he did his poll, it was like a 96% said happy. Because we all know, don't get me wrong, money is important. It's very important in life because it allows you to do things, experience things that really contribute to your overall vitality. So don't get me wrong here. But there is a ton of people out there that have an abundant amount of money that hate life and their fucking life sucks. Let's call a spade a spade. And as a parent, I'm going for the happy route. I want my children to be happy, to love life, to enjoy what they do. I don't care what it is, but I want them to enjoy it. I want them to be happy. I want them to be fulfilled. And I think as a parent, you feel the same way. So let's look at this in business. Does your business fulfill you? Does it make you happy? Right? And that starts with the people you associate with, including clients, including suppliers, including colleagues. I can tell you, I've been at companies where there's been some great people, and I've been at companies where I close my door and I can see a person coming to my office and I just like pretend I'm doing something else because I have no desire to communicate with them whatsoever. And I'm sure you've all been there. I've had a business where I was so unsatisfied. I was so unhappy and it was making a lot of money, but I hated the industry. I hated my clients. And I know those are strong words, but I did. And I sit back and I say, wow, like, would I be happier working at McDonald's? And it's a serious question, considering at the time I was questioning it, I was making more money than neurosurgeons. And it's like you start really thinking to yourself, is this really what I want to do for the rest of my life? Like, and I'm sure some of you in this day and age, in this market of our industry, are probably having that thought. And I'll finish with this. So here's what the past 15 years of science has learned in the actual science of happiness. Happiness doesn't come from genetics, luck, or chance. Happiness has a lot less to do with circumstances than we think it does. And I think this one for me was one of the biggest ones, because for me, it was like circumstances always were either what made me happy or didn't make me happy. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a choice. It really is. But it's a friggin' damn tough choice at times. I get that because things happen. People do things to us. And how do we, and I'm still asking myself these questions. Everybody, I'm not an expert here in any which way, shape, or form. I'm sharing some really powerful tools in this book that are helping me. And I'll share with you along my journey. But for me, that one hit home. Happiness has a lot less to do with circumstances than we think it does. Happiness is a result of some big out-of-reach event. Happiness isn't the result of some big out-of-reach event or attainment. Very interesting. Happiness is created by simple, easy things we do every day. And unhappiness is created by not doing those simple things we do every day. So if you're watching this after it's live, rewind it and go through those things again, because 15 years of science has told us this. Now, he starts to end the chapter with these strategies. Okay. So happiness, the secret to happiness, because happiness itself is a secret ingredient to something else. What else? Practically everything. Extensive research since 2000 has shown us people are who happier also have fewer strokes and heart attack, have less pain and inflammation, have a greater immune function and more resistant to viruses, develop more resilient personalities and handle adversity better, have better work performance and better professional success, have more fulfilling and long-lasting marriages, have larger and more active social spheres, are more involved in their communities, are more altruistic and have a greater net positive impact on society, and are more financially successful. And number 11, they live longer. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, when I look at how happiness comes first, success comes after, and I look at science that has an extensive reach, and do yourself a favor, go on the internet. Maybe stay away from Google at this time, but go on the internet and research this. Do your own research. I did. I have pages of notes attached to these individual statements. Because once you learn that, like we're talking 24 years of science, educated papers, like extensive research that gives us these 11 things about happiness. But here's the question, maybe you're asking the same question right now. But here's a question I started asking myself yesterday when I read this. Do I pay attention to happiness? Do I live it, or am I allowing circumstances to impact how I'm feeling? It's an interesting question, and I'm really digging into this because, you know, for me, the challenges, all the things that I've been through, that I'm going through, it could be very easy not to be happy. And I'm sure everybody in my life can tell you. Now, there's been times where Dan's like, you don't even want to be around him. And I sit back and I'm like, why? Oh my gosh, why did I do that? And it's kept me up a lot last night. Up bright and early this morning, reread the chapter, rethought about it, added more notes, wrote more things down in my book, wrote in my gratitude journal. And, you know, it's an interesting topic, and I think it's a topic I'm going to be talking a little bit more on, because also, as I'm sure you know, but at this point, as we speak about things, it solidifies it in our heads. So if this is something that, you know, is good for you, I think you'll enjoy this piece. And this is towards the end of the chapter where he says the slight edge plus happy habits equals success. So what are happy habits? And in the book, Jeff gives us 5 happy habits that we can do every day. And I started doing them again. Right? No quantum leaps. So you start doing them. Don't expect tomorrow everything to change if you're not a happy individual. And I think it's come at a perfect time in the book. Like we are sitting here, what, out of 120 pages, we're at about 50 pages. And so, you know, almost halfway through the book. And he's given you the tools and the steps and the processes and the mindset to say, okay, each individual little thing adds up over time. So you know, waking up and doing these gratitudes or these happy steps, as he called them, happy habits, as Jeff calls them. I think we got to give it some time to compound interest and level up. Okay. So what he says is each morning, write down three things you're grateful for. Not the same thing every day. Find three new things to write about that trains your brain to search your circumstances and hunt for the positivity. I can tell you, I've been now close to 3 months writing a gratitude journal, maybe two. And I went back right away. I pulled up my gratitude journal and I went back. And it was like the same things I was talking about every day. Because I am grateful for my health. I am so grateful for my wife, for my family, for my in-laws, for my mom, for my parents. I'm so grateful for the people that have supported me during my tough times, especially my wife. And every day I was writing that down. And just because I realized yesterday when I was reading this, that just because I'm not writing it down, it doesn't mean I'm super grateful. My wife was the rock. She was the mountain of support I needed. And that will never change. So what I started doing as of this morning is I started really exploring and saying, well, what else am I grateful for? Am I grateful for this meeting that went well yesterday? Yes, I am. Am I grateful for the walk? Sorry, the W-A-L-K, because we have certain individuals here that will be all over me if I say that word. I'm surprised they didn't hear it. Yesterday, am I grateful for, you know, that phone call? Am I grateful for having the time to be able to prospect the way I wanted to? And I'm like, wow, yeah, I'm actually really grateful for a lot of other things. Then step number two, he says, journal for 2 minutes a day about one positive experience you've had in the past 24 hours. So this is something that I did in my gratitude journal, but this is the different part. Write down every detail you can remember. This causes your brain to literally re-experience the experience, which doubles its positive impact. I had no idea about that. So now I started writing, picking one thing from yesterday. And I started really delving into it. And I can tell you this morning, I could have probably wrote for 10 minutes. Like, I wiped most of it off, but I'm left-handed. So when I write fast, I get ink all over. I'm sure everyone out there that's left-handed has this issue. You get ink kind of all over the side of your hand. Or if it's pencil, you get the lead all over the side of your pen. I was writing fast and furious. I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. So again, small little thing, easier to do, easier not to do. I could have easily gone back to the old way of journaled, but I went to this way. Number three, he says, meditate daily. Nothing fancy, just stop all activity, relax, and watch your breath go in and out for 2 minutes. It trains your brain to focus on what you want and not get distracted by negativity in your environment. Hey, I think there's a ton of research out there on the positive impacts of meditation. I also think there's a lot of people out there that are like, I can't do it. My brain just doesn't shut off. And I'm with you on that because it's taken me a long time to get my brain to shut off. All I would say is just try it. Keep trying it. 10 seconds turns to 15, turns to 20, turns to 30, turns to 50, turns to a minute, turns to 2 minutes, turns to 10 minutes, turns to an hour. And it's that small progressive steps. You know, Brian Biro was the first one that ever told me, inch by inch, anything's a cinch. I know he didn't come up with it, but it's the reality of life. Number four, do a random act of kindness over the course of each day. To make this simple, Jeff recommends an act of kindness to start each day. Take 2 minutes to write an email to someone you know, praising them or thanking them for something they did. So I've been a big fan of this because in my high performance planner, it says, you know, who are you going to surprise with a note or an act of kindness today? So I've been doing this for a while. But I like the fact that he says, you know, do it in the morning because I tend to, okay, I'll do it today. And I kind of put it in my agenda. And when I can find a spot to put it in, I do it in. So first thing I did this morning was, and I did it via text this morning. I think you could do it text or anything. Then number five is exercise for 15 minutes daily. Simple cardio, even a brisk WALK, has a powerful antidepressant impact, in many cases stronger and more long-lasting than actual antidepressants. So that hits home with me. I over the last probably week and a half, I've been doing some WALKs with the DOGSs, and I could tell you that I feel better. I do. I mean, I feel better. I've been exercising regularly. So I feel better about that. Ryan and I today are going to start a 75 hard. So I feel really excited about that. And in closing, he gives these kind of certain things here. He says, this is a fascinating logic and powerful research behind all five, but these are not the only happy habits the researchers support. The research supports. There are just five good examples. Other happiness researchers have found different lists, including make time for more friends, practice savoring the moment, practice having a positive perspective, put more energy into cultivating your relationships, and practice forgiveness, engage in meaningful activities, and practice simple acts of giving. And then he goes into one bonus one here that I think is, I think if you're trying to better your life, this is almost mandatory, where he says, read at least 10 pages of a good book daily. When's the last time you read a really good book that helped you? And I'm going to go a step further with that because it's something I've said. And if you guys have been following me for any given time, you know, I say that it's not just what you read. It's not just the information. It's the application of the information that really matters. So until next time, my friends, remember, go out there, make every call educational, crush your sales, and we'll see you next time. Take care.